Okay, and now we finish with the calculation of the error. But essentially, the calculation of the error uses all the ingredients that you already computed for the bias. So the definition of the error is on top of page 5. So the square error, the squared error, so sigma square, is the variance that you can easily write as the square, as the average value respect to the Monte Carlo repetition of the square of the estimator minus the estimator squared. So we already computed the average value of the estimator to order 1 over n. So the only thing that we have to compute is the average value of the square of the estimator. So we first compute the square of the estimator to second order in our small quantities, delta f, delta g. So we use the expression that we had computed at page, we had computed before, at page 2 of the notes. So we square it and we only keep terms which are quadratic. We disregard cubic terms and higher because now we know, I don't want to go back again on this issue, that all these terms give contributions which are of order 1 over n square, while we know that the error will come out of order, the square of the error will come out of order 1 over n. So we only want to keep terms which are quadratic in these quantities. So this is an easy calculation, and we get the long expression which is written at page 5. Remember that the average value of delta f and delta g is zero. And so at the end, we get that the average value of error of our estimate of our estimator squared, and we take the average with respect to the Monte Carlo repetition, is a factor of r squared in front of everything. And then in parentheses, we have 1, and then the average value of delta squared f minus 4. The average value of delta f delta g plus 3 the average value of delta g squared. The average value of the estimator we already know, we already done the calculation, so is r1 minus, and then in parentheses is 1 minus the average value of delta f delta g plus the average value of delta g squared. So we can do the calculation. So sigma square, after it follows, there is sigma square. The first line is the average value of r square. The second line is the square of the average value, in which I've already dropped terms which are of cubic and higher order. So we only keep terms which are quadratic, essentially only the double products. Then we do all simplifications, and we get the expression at the end, which is r square, and then we get three terms: the average value of delta f square, the average value of delta f delta g, and the average value of delta g square. And then to conclude, we use the definitions of this quantity and their relation to the variance and covariance of f that we already derived. So the average value of delta f squared is essentially the variance of f minus f bar. So it's at the error. And so we get the variance of pi 1 over n. The 1 over n is taken out of the parentheses. So I've taken a 1 over n factor in front of everything. And it's divided by the square of f pi squared. And then we have the term delta f delta g. If you use the definition of delta f delta g, you get a factor of 1 over f pi, 1 over g pi in the denominator. We have a product which goes in 1 over n, the covariance. Again, the 1 over n goes outside the parentheses, and we are left with the covariance. Delta g squared is again the variance, 1 over n, divided by g squared with respect to pi. So this is our final expression. The important thing is that the error depends on the variance of pi, depends on the variance of g, but it also depends on the covariance of the two observables, f and g. And as usual, the error goes like 1 over square root of n. So this tells you something, that the error on this ratio does not only depend on the error on the mean value of f and the mean value of g. So the error on f bar and the error of g bar not only determine the error on the ratio. We have to use also the covariance, how the two quantities are correlated. This is an important thing. Of course, this in some cases one would like to simplify the expression because one does not want to compute the covariance. So there is an approximation. Remember, this is an approximation, which is the so-called independent error formula. The independent error formula is simply obtained neglecting the covariance. You simply drop the covariance, and then you see that the square of the error on our ratio is directly related to the ratio on f and on g. It's important to realize that this formula is an approximation, and in some cases it overestimates, and sometimes by a big factor, the correct error, because the covariance may be it's positive and large, and so it subtracts a lot to the sum of the two variances. So it may overestimate, but there are also cases in which the covariance is negative, and in this case, the independent error formula underestimate the correct error. So it's really a formula which should, in principle, never used, because you don't really know if you are overestimating or underestimating the correct error, and you don't really know when you overestimate if you overestimate by 10%, which is acceptable, or if you overestimate by, say, a factor of 2, which is an enormous number in Monte Carlo simulations, because a factor of 2 in the error means that you need to perform a number of iterations which is 4 times larger. So maybe you are writing an error which is twice as large as it should be, and this is a complete waste of time, because to get the same error with the independent error formula respect to the correct one, you need to increase the statistics by a factor of 4. The error propagation formula is a general formula which is valid for any function of two different quantities, and it's used also in experimental work whenever you do measurements and you want to compute errors on quantities that depends on two measures A and B. So suppose that you have two quantities A and B that are measured with an error sigma A and sigma B. C is a function f of A and B, and you want to compute the error on C. So the independent error formula simply tells you that the square of the error on C is obtained by summing the errors on A and B, the squared errors on A and B, each of them multiplied by the derivative of f with respect to A and the derivative of f with respect to b. And this formula, it's important to remember that this formula assumes the absence of correlations between the measurements of a and b. And indeed, if we apply this general formula to our case, in this case c is the ratio a over b, so we apply the formula and we get that sigma square c, so the error, the squared error on c, is 1 over b squared, which is the derivative with respect to a squared, times the error on a squared, sigma a squared, plus the derivative with respect to b squared, which is a to the power 2 divided by b to the power 4, sigma b squared. And then you can rewrite in the same way as we did for our independent error formula. So this is something that you should always remember. This is an important formula. It's useful, but it may overestimate or underestimate the correct result. Another important formula is the worst error formula. At least this formula has an advantage that you know that this formula provides you with an upper bound. The error is certainly smaller than the error computed using the worst error formula. And the worst error formula is based on an inequality, which is the analog of the Schwarz inequality for the scalar product, which tells you that the average value, the absolute value of the covariance is less than the variance of pi times the variance of g square root, the square root of the product of the two variances. This is the analog of the Schwarz inequality. So the square of the scalar product is less than the product of the squared moduli of the two vectors. This allows you to prove that the minus covariance divided by the average values is less than the square root of the product of the covariance times the absolute value of the two average values. Note that there are absolute values of the average values in the denominators. This is important that you put the absolute values, because the average values in principle will also be negative. Then you rewrite the expression as it is in the next to last formula, and then you realize that it's an exact square. And so you get the expression that sigma square is r square, the error, remember, is the square root of the variance divided by the average value plus g, the average value. So we get this independent error formula, which is written in page 8. Again, remember that in many cases this is a very poor approximation, because it overestimates by a big factor the correct error. One can generalize the error formula, the worst error formula, to generic functions f of a and b, as we did for the independent error formula, and we get this expression here. Main difference is that in the independent error, we are summing the square of the errors with weights, which are the square of the derivatives. Well, here we simply sum the errors, and the weights are the absolute values of the derivatives. This formula should never be used in practice, except at the beginning, when you want to have a simple idea of the errors of your system, without doing a sophisticated error analysis. But you never use the worst error formula to compute your final errors, the final errors of your data, because otherwise you are simply wasting lots of your statistics, because maybe the error is overestimated by factor of 2, factor of 3, which is a real waste of the Monte Carlo results that you have obtained.